Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this segment on meditating on the Word of God for this last week of May. As we've recalled in the last few weeks, we talked about the calendar of events in 2021. We began with January talking about the zeal of the Lord and why zeal will serve us well this year. We followed that up with wisdom in February, the kingdom of God in March, the Holy Spirit in April. And finally, in May, we began a series on relationships. Over the course of the last 3 weeks, I've been talking to you about love and how love is important and is the motive for all relationships. And then trust. And then last week, I talked to you about forgiveness. If you recall, I spoke to you about the nature of blood and how blood was designed by God to, in a sense, mimic, if not portray for us, what relationships look like. I talked to you about red blood cells and how red blood cells contain oxygen, which is a kind of matter of love that's being spread into our physical bodies. We also talked about the reality in Revelation 1, verse 5, where it says, "And from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us." There you go, love, and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Blood is a reference to love. And secondly, we talked about white blood cells. And further, we look at the verse in Romans 3, verse 25, where it says, "God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith." Faith is another word for trust. And we see again that the nature of blood is not just love, but also trust. And then last week, we talked about platelets and how platelets in Matthew 26, verse 28 says, "This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." The nature of blood brings together the characteristics of love, trust, and forgiveness. But today I want to talk to you yet with another facet of blood. Many people don't realize that 55% of blood is really not red blood cells, white blood cells, but plasma. The rest of that, red, white, and constitutes about 45% of the rest of blood. But the bulk of 55% is plasma. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 24, it says, "To Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, it says, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Now we find yet another part of blood which communicates, and that is the final piece of understanding how to build relationships, love, trust. But the container of all of that, forgiveness, is communication. I've entitled this message, "The Exchange," in light of the memory of a conversation with my wife where I used to talk too much or argue too much or debate too much. And she said to me, "Joey, do you know how to play ping pong?" And I said, "Yes, of course I do." And she said, "It's kind of like communication. It's an exchange. You can't just be hitting the ball by yourself. You got to give the other person a chance to enjoy the game as well." Now, of course, I argued the whole point was to win. But then we were talking about communication. Understanding the exchange is the key to understanding communication. The starting point to having good communication is about clarity. You cannot have good conversation when you don't have clarity. Clarity does not begin with you talking to someone, but starts in your own life, in your own heart, in your own mind, in your own soul. It begins with an understanding in Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, that the nature of God before he started doing anything was to proclaim, "Let there be clarity, let there be light." And there was light. Clarity is the basis for us being able to be good at communication. It begins with the clarity of our calling. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 21, it says, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" Notice where it says your ears will hear something, a voice behind you, calling. That's what it is, right? There's a voice calling us, and that's what the calling is. Clarity of calling begins, the starting point of clarity, rather, is when you understand calling. The nature of calling is that you don't call yourself, somebody actually calls you. It starts with a calling to a relationship with God. The clearer that is to you, the clearer your communication gets. When you understand that you're called to a family, that this family is someone you need to communicate with, a tribe or a nation, and that you're called to a vocation, when you come to terms with the people around these spheres of relationship, whether that's God, family, tribe, nation, or vocation, or neighbors, you will have a clear way of communicating with them. Clarity of calling is followed by a clarity of values and vision. When the way your values are not very clear and your vision is not very clear, very hard to communicate the essence of what you really want to say. There's a verse in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, which says, "Do not lay for yourselves treasures on earth, for moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay for yourselves or store for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth and rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal." Last part of this three-part verse is, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I want to draw your attention to the word treasure, treasures, and treasures. Three times the word treasure is being said to us because Jesus was underscoring the importance of clear values. What's interesting is the verse that follows after that. In verse 22, it says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. So if the eye is healthy, the whole body is full of light." Notice how clarity, clear values, clear eyes. Clear eyes, the word eye is repeated three times. The word eyes in the Greek is the word ophthalmos, which literally means, and figuratively, vision. When your values and vision are clear, communication becomes easy. You may not be the most popular person or the most liked person, but you will be clear. And that's the point of communication. You want to be clear about the people you talk to the people you talk to, with the right values and the right vision. Finally, a clear sense of purpose and plans. Notice in Proverbs 4 verse 18 says, "The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day." The path of the righteous, the purpose, the plans of the righteous, the way he's going is like the morning sun, clear, shining brighter as you go on this journey. Clarity is important. When we're clear to us what our purpose is and our plans are, life becomes easy in terms of communication. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, be clear. Your purpose is to do it all for the glory of God." That's interesting that when that is clear to you, a lot of the communication becomes rather clear and in many ways easy. I like what the old theologian said, "Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." It's John Piper who once said, "It doesn't say man's chief ends, it says man's chief end." In other words, to glorify God is to enjoy him. The more you enjoy him, the more you glorify him. The more you glorify him, the more you enjoy him forever. Clarity of what you are living for, enjoying God and glorifying him, makes communication clear and simple. Proverbs 19, verse 21 further clarifies this. "Many are the plans in the person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails." The clearer our calling is, our values and vision and purpose and plans, it translates into clear words. Our words will not be clear if our hearts are not clear about who we're called to communicate with, the values and vision that we communicate with, the purpose and the plans that God has for us. Words are the simplest way to communicate. For instance, in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue, or the words of your tongue, has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Notice, it says the words of your tongue can either bring life or it can bring death. Words that you speak to your children, to your wife, can bring life and can bring death. And only you can control that, because when your heart is clear of its treasures and values, guess what? Out of the abundance of that heart, the mouth will speak. And that's why it's very critical that we're clear about the sense of values, the people that we're talking to, clear about our purpose and our plans, because when that is clear, our communication, our words will bring life and not death. Notice where it says, "and those who love it will eat its fruit." In short, fruit can either be something that gives you life or it can give you death. It's whatever you eat or whatever you feed people will cause them to either thrive and live and enjoy life, or you could kill them with your words. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20 says, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little worth." The tongue of the righteous is choice value, because it comes out of a heart that has a clear sense of purpose, plans, values, and calling. When you're clear about these things, things become easy to communicate. But the heart of the wicked, which is where your words come from, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak, then your words are going to be of little worth. Now, words are not just spoken, they're also written. In fact, written words are probably more powerful. This morning, I wrote a birthday letter for a friend of mine whose wife asked me to write a letter for him. Carefully chosen words to encourage this young man and to tell him that he's doing well and that he's righteous, that he is able to ascend to where God's taking him is very important, because I know that those words have power, and I know that years from now, that young man can still reference that letter, because actually written words are in some ways more powerful than just spoken words. Now, notice in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be where? On your hearts. These words are not to be just on your head. They're to be in your hearts. Impress them on your children. That's how you communicate. You take these words, and that's what I did. I put them in paper, and I'm impressing this on this young man. Talk about them. By the way, he's not very young. He's 44. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down or when you get up. It's about this conversation. The word impress them is very similar to this engraving tool. It's actually putting slight pressure enough to indelibly put that in the heart of a child or a person, because you're communicating with them. When you put these things engraved on people's hearts, they're there for a very, very long time. It works positively when you say life words, and it works negatively when you say death words. And that's why it's important to communicate properly. Talk to them when you sit at home. Talk to them when you're along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Essentially, talk to them as often as you can. And talk to them in the way that you, with the words, both written and spoken, in order to get them there. Now, it continues in verses 8 and 9. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. And here goes, write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When something is written, the game changes. And that's why you'll notice that God is a person of very few words, but a lot of them are written. Because when something is written, what you're basically saying is, this is for life. This is a living will. This is something that you can trust for a very long time, because in some ways, I actually guarantee it. Now, when we have clarity of calling, values, vision, purpose, and plans, it translates to the right words, whether spoken or written. And secondly, it translates to actions. And as you know, actions speak louder than words. In the book of James, chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed, lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and filled.'" In other words, you say it, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled, but you tell me, but you don't show me." Don't just tell me, show me. And that's why it says in the next verse, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Action speak louder than words. It was the doctor from Germany called Carl Jung who once said, "You are what you do, not what you say you'll do." When we act on things, we realize we are really communicating in some ways at a higher level than our words, whether spoken or written. Actions speak louder than words. Our clarity translates into words, actions, and finally, a very important part of communication is listening. Further in James chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Notice the words, "everyone should be quick to listen." Herein lies the title of my message, which my wife was reminding me, The Exchange. The exchange is very critical. And I must admit, I need to be honest with you, that is not my strong suit. I actually rather try to encourage and impart and bring life, but don't listen as well. But the good news is I'm learning. One of the ways I've learned is when I'm speaking to somebody is to somehow repeat the words they say. When they say, "I want tuna sushi," I said, did you say, "I want tuna sushi? Did you say this?" Because every time I do that, it slows me down. Side by side with that strategy, before I even say that, I first bite my tongue. I've learned to bite my tongue more often these days in order to remind me not to talk first, but to listen. And finally, be fully present. To listen means to put your eyes attentively looking at that person, fully present and engaged and not wondering what he's going to say and what you're going to say next. To be fully present is to actually respect, if not love, the person because you're genuinely concerned and want to know where he's coming from. You learn as you grow older, but the point is to have a strategy for communication. And when you have that, you understand that really the best communicator is no other than God himself. When we have clarity of calling, values, and vision, our clarity of purpose and plans, it translates to the right words, the right action, and the right listening. But the best communicator by far is God. And when we engage him, we learn how to communicate from him, to him, and through him. And as a result, we learn how to communicate with others. God is the best communicator. For starters, God speaks the loudest, and yet it doesn't feel like he's shouting. In the book of Psalm, chapter 19, verse 1, it says, "The heavens declare," he is speaking, "the glory of God. The skies proclaim," he's speaking, "the work of his hands." He is speaking, constantly communicating with us, drawing us near in various forms of communication. From sunrise, the skies are declaring his glory. Whether you're in a city, whether you're in a remote top of a mountain, the very highest peak of Mount Everest, there he is speaking. Whether you're in the deepest valleys of the Grand Canyon, or whether it's at night, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there he is speaking. To the one who will listen and to the one who will be ready to communicate with him, he will speak. More importantly, he doesn't just speak words, he writes them. He's put them in this bounded book of covenants that tells you, "I have a promise for you, and I've signed this with the very own blood of my very own son." Power of God's communication is wonderful. When we learn the way he communicates and the clarity by which he communicates in, we will learn how to communicate like him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 says, "To Jesus," as I've read this earlier to you, "the mediator of a new covenant and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Jesus speaks, not just through words and not just through the grandeur of creation, but through the act of dying on the cross. Nothing could be more powerful than action. We learn these basics of communication of words, actions, and listening from God himself. Because not only does God speak, God is clear. And that's why we can listen very well. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Nothing could be clearer than this. Declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you." Notice he's repeating the word plans three times. Treasure three times. Eyes three times. You know why? God is clear. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." I'm speaking this to you. "Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." I love speaking to God, or rather listening to him and communicating with him, because he's not only speaking the loudest, he's this one who speaks the clearest. More importantly, he's also the one who listens the best. I remember once upon a time I asked the Lord this. I think this was probably 30 years ago. I was a brand new believer. I asked him, "God, would you speak to me audibly? Why won't you just speak to me one word and just tell me, 'Joey, you're cute'?" I remember what God said to me: "Joey, words are cheap. I love you. And when you listen well to me, you're going to hear me very well." The book of Psalms, chapter 116, verses 1 to 2 says, "I love the Lord, for he heard my voice." He listens. "He heard my cry for mercy, because he's turned his ear to me. I call on him as long as I live." Here's what the psalmist is saying. Because this God wants to listen to me. Because this God chooses to hear me. Because he's turned his ear to me, I'm going to talk to him and converse with him. When we become that kind of a good listener, people will want to keep coming back. The joy of conversing or communicating with God and learning to communicate with him is not just because he speaks the loudest or the clearest or that he listens well. He communicates in spirit. There we find in verse 1 of chapter Psalms 139, "You've searched me, O Lord, and know me." It's interesting how God already knows me from the deepest of who I am, and yet he still chooses for me to speak to him. He sits there quietly listening to me, wanting to know who I genuinely am. Verse 2 and 3 says, you know when I sit down and when I rise, and you perceive my thoughts. You already know what I'm thinking of. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all my ways, and yet you still insist on speaking to me. My birthday was this week, and it's interesting how a few days ago, I just felt led. I left my house at 8:30 in the evening and made my way to the city in Singapore. There were no people. It was late. By the time I got there, it was nearly 10. And I went to Gardens by the Bay. I stayed there for probably a good hour and a half, nearly 2 hours by myself. But I really wasn't alone. I was having a conversation with this wonderful God. And I was thanking him that this week I'm going to be celebrating my 64th year. And for the love and the joy of having to learn or have learned to communicate with him over the years. Verse 4 and 5 says, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely. But more than that, you hem me in. Well, you know what that means? He hugs you. In and behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. He acts upon it, not just speaking to you. The love of the joy of communicating with God is the way you will learn how to communicate to your wife, your children, and the people around you. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Here it is. That's the most beautiful thing about God. I can't go anywhere without him. When I can flee from your presence, I can't go out and I can go up to the heavens and you are there, and I make my way to the depths, you are there. God wants to communicate with us. He is ultimately the God of love. He's the God of trust, the God of forgiveness, and the God who communicates. When we learn how to communicate like him and love like him and trust like him, we will have and forgive like him, we will have lifelong quality relationships. The starting point of communication is clarity of our calling, our values and vision, our purpose and plans. It translates to the right words, actions, and listening. Not perfect. By any chance, that's why there's forgiveness. God is the best communicator. He speaks the loudest, he speaks the clearest, and listens well. He's the God who communicates in spirit, regardless of where we are. As we end this moment of meditating on the Word, I want us to proclaim Jesus. I want you to look for a piece of bread and a cup as a remembrance of who he is, and pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, we thank and honor you for the act of grace and mercy you communicated to us through your death on the cross. We thank you for your never-ending desire to hear us as we pray and pour out our hearts in words and groans. As we learn how to communicate from you, teach us how to best communicate with others. That may we may be clear in our words, actions, and be excellent in the way we listen to others. Grant us success in our relationships as we love, trust, forgive, and communicate. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.